Let's get it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's African American education empowerment. It's your show for us, our people, for me and you. Let's get this thing kicked off. Come on, Luther, right there. Oh yeah. Hey. Yeah. No better love. Y'all know how I'm gonna do this. Y'all know y'all got that right. It's no better love. There's no better love than for self and kind. Again, welcome to the National African American Empowerment Association Empowerment Saturday. It's African American conversation just for you. It's education. It's information just for us. Let's get to the mission at NAAEA. But first, before I get to that, let me just say thank you. Thank you to all my people for listening, for joining in, for giving me some feedback, for calling to the show, for doing what y'all do. This is an effort to improve us. And even if you don't call in, even if you're listening and you just text me and say, you know, Marv, I like what you said about that. I like what the man said about that. I like what the lady said about that. That's good. Because the more that we can continue these conversations, the more that we can get the ball rolling, get things moving to improve ourselves. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with getting us together. All you got to do is backtrack on the history. The history speaks for itself. The NAAEA and the mission. The mission of the African American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower the African American community. You can't get no better than that. Here's the question, though. Who's doing that, right? We should be doing that on every level. Let's see how HBCUs get the African American Empowerment Association on campuses. How about that? And black cultural study programs are right in there. We're everywhere. We're in the community, politics, economics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. Let's go with politics first. You need a political agenda. We do. We need to be in Washington, D.C., talking about how we're going to help our people overcome the adversities. You're probably asking yourself, Marvin, what adversities are those? All you got to do is go back and think about here, Juneteenth. What happened after Juneteenth? Because we're going to talk about that today and how we celebrated Juneteenth last weekend, and it was really good in a lot of areas around the country. But think about what happened after that, after Galveston and the continued situations that we have continued to go through in this country. I won't go through them all. But I just want you to think for just a minute what that looks like in terms of how we got Reconstruction going and then the wheels fell off and a whole new system was created after the North or your government gave the power back to the South to treat us in the kind of way they wanted to, and then the policies came through that created segregation, black codes, redlining, all of those things that we talk about and that we know to be true, police brutality, lynching, mob violence, burning people's houses, blowing up churches, you know, the history. That's what it is, right? How about equal opportunity under the law? How about liberty and justice for all? How about the Constitution of the Founding Fathers that says if you're a citizen, then you have certain rights? How about that? How about talking about what we need to do to improve ourselves politically? Right, wherever we live, whatever city you live in, you should be saying, I need to figure out what's going on with the politics in my neighborhood, in my community, and then how that's impacting me, my family, and my friends. That's what I'm talking about today. Let's get an economic agenda. What's the economics? How can we get some money in our pockets? I mean, legit money, not like hustling on corners and dealing drugs and all. I'm talking about making, building, selling, producing. Yeah, on a national and then a global scale where we have businesses in our communities and that we're feeding each other, right, and that our college graduates can come and work in our corporations. What a dream, Marvin. Martin Luther King had a dream. Marvin Roan got a vision for an empowered future for African Americans, and you have to be a part of it. You do. The change has to come with us, but we got to start thinking change. We got to start doing that. Let's go to athletics. That's the A. Do you have an athletic agenda? Are you taking care of yourself? Don't be mad with me when I say this, but if you're on medications, you got to think about it. Do you have a fitness program? Now, I'm not just talking about medications, because some of us just do have, we're just predisposed. I got that part. I'm talking about the stuff that you can do something about, the food that you eat. Do you work out? Do you train your body? Do you train your mind? Do you have time for quiet time and meditation? And sometimes just going outside and being in nature. Like we used to say when we was a kid, going outside to play. Outside. How often are you outside? Right? How often are you stuck in a building somewhere not getting that vitamin D you need? Let's go to culture. You got to have relevant cultural programs, just like this one, to talk about what's good about us and what we need to do. That's what the NAEA is all about. And nothing wrong with African-American empowerment. You need cultural programs. You need us to understand our history, how that's important to us and how that builds us and how that makes us feel good and how that's for our children and the next generation to feel good about who we are and not that our ancestors were just enslaved. But look at all of the beautiful things that came out of us being enslaved and how we created a whole country, basically, and built it from the ground up. That's your ancestors and mine. All you got to do is look at every street around here. I'm in Richmond. Just look at the cobblestone and the brick and you know it's us. Anyway, lastly is education, and that's a comprehensive education. Y'all probably saying, Marv, every week you want to talk about the NAEA and politics. Yes, because if you get it down in you, you'll go out and do the work that you need to do to work on yourself and your mindset so that you can change some things. You don't need to be poor. If you got information, you could do something about it. And that's what we need, to do something about it. So, again, the tenets of the NAAE is what we're living on, and that's what we need to do. We need to be able to get to a place where we are deciding how the future of our communities and our lives are going to be. That's up to us. Nobody else can do that for us. You're going to have to do that for yourselves. I want you to make a commitment today that you're going to do a few things to make lives better, that you're going to make some decisions that improve the lives of the members of your family first. How about start with yourself? Get a political agenda, economic agenda, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition plan, and then go to cultural activities. Like the brother said last week, get something cultural in your house, some artifacts, and then get some books and just sit down and read on a few to bring yourself up to speed on some stuff. That's what we need to do, because that's what it's all about. We have to be able to do that for ourselves. Let's go to Stan. Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify.
Tell them, Steve.
And let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races.
Got that right.
And be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
You better know who you are. You better know who you are. You better know who you are. You got to know who you are. Know who you are. Stop trying to get in and fit in. Be your best self. Try to get back to your authentic self and who you are, right? Let's undo the conditioning. Speaking of conditioning, I'm just going to slide over to Willie Lynch and then Kwanzaa real quick, and then we'll get to the show. Here it is. Real quick, it's a review. That's what happened.
This speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the banks of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1720.
I'm trying to educate
y'all. Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his methods to slave owners there. The term lynching is derived from his last name. Greetings, gentlemen. I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented, as our boat sails south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish. I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you were here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. And you're not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit, you suffer occasional fires, your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not have to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 400 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among slaves, and I take these differences and I make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pitch the old...
We'll just stop right there. We'll just stop right there. I'm telling you, Willie Lynch, for a reason. Because all you got to do is think about how divided we are in many areas. Divided homes, divided men, divided women, right? We got to come together. We do. That brings me into my Kwanzaa principle, that is Ujima, collective work and responsibility. We're going to have to work together, y'all. We're going to have to do it. Who else is going to do it? It's us. It's time. The time is now. We got to get the work in, and that's what this show is all about, and the work that's going to go on in the communities and in the streets, because we're working. We just need you to join us. 845-277-9250 is the number. You can call in and talk to Marvin Rome, or you can listen, or you can play it back on demand. I don't care. All you got to do is just do one of the three. It's up to you. All right, we're going to the lines in just a minute. Remember, the Kwanzaa principle is today, Ujima. It's 24/7, 365 of African American empowerment right here. You don't want to get off the train right now. You want to stay on and keep moving. Going to the lines, 9282. You know what time it is, baby. Oh, yeah. You know what to do. I said, you know what to do. That time.
Bring it. What?
What?
Right here. We're not going anywhere. Be right here.
9282. Welcome to the show. How you doing today?
I'm fine, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully well. I'm excited, man. We got so much to cover, so much to talk about.
Yes, sir.
What you got today?
Yes, sir. First, let me say I apologize for not being with you last week, last Saturday. I had a commitment that I had to work on last Saturday, and I did listen to the program. And brother, as I was listening to the program, I was grabbing the phone, wanting to call in. You know, because yes, sir, it was a good program, and I was like, man, I could have, because what I what I want to talk about today fitted well with what you were talking about last week, as always. But, you know, last Sunday was, as we call, Father's Day. But as we know, every day Father's Day, just as every day Mother's Day, every day Children's Day, every day whatever. You know, so you don't need a special day. You know, with a record, because every day is special in our family,
got that
in our
right.
lives. You know, but last Sunday was one of the best, as we say, Father's Day I had. You know, my family treated me very well, you know. Surprised
love,
me,
babe.
You know, in a way. You know, yeah, I got some good cards. From my family, we give good cards. You know, I set that trend years ago in giving cards, good cards. So my family gave me good cards, and my grandson even gave me a good card that he picked out himself. You know, he gave me a couple of pairs of socks that he picked out, you know, that I've worn this week. And my son out in California, he gave me a ticket to a football game Monday night in the end of, October 4th out in L.A. to see the Chargers
what?
And the Raiders. And so I,
right.
I'm looking forward to going out there and doing that. And they gave me certificates to buy things at Lowe's and Carrabba's. But they also gave me ticket to the Jonathan Butler concert last Sunday evening. And, you know, so my wife and I, you know, went to the concert, and Jonathan sung a song that I will admit I never heard before until last Sunday. And the song title was "Falling in Love with Jesus Was the Best Thing I've Ever Done." Let me say that again. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. And I immediately thought of you and the show, you know, because we understand that. But I think most of the people that were at the concert last Sunday, you know, they loved the song and they were into it and all, you know, but I don't think they understood what that really means. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. And I said to those people at my table, including my wife, I said, what he's saying is, falling in love with yourself is the best thing I've ever done. Falling in love with myself, falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done.
I like that.
How are you going to love Jesus if you don't love yourself? See, you can't love no one if you don't love yourself. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Falling in love with Jesus, with yourself, was the best thing I've ever done. Because if you fall in love with yourself, you know, and as I said before, the dictionary defines self. One of the definitions of the word self is people of the same color. So when I fall in love with myself, I fall in love with you. I fall in love with my sisters and brothers. I fall in love with Jesus. I fall in love with myself. If I fall in love with myself, there's going to be no more black-on-black crime. There's going to be no more drive-bys. You know, there's going to be no more dope selling, no more pimping, no more beating my woman, no more child molesting. None. When I fall in love with Jesus, falling in love with myself, all those things stop. We don't need no police in the community because I done fell in love with myself. I done fell in love with Jesus. And to that point, I hear it playing in the background. My impossible dream seems more impossible than ever to me now, brother. I mean, after discussions I've had with, you know, with educated Negroes and so forth, we just don't think that we can do anything without white people. And this is not anything against white people, because it basically has nothing to do with white people. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. Falling in love with myself. We really think it's impossible. We really don't believe that black folk will ever do anything for black folks. Will ever do anything together. We've got to have white folk involved. Without white folk, we can't do nothing. You know, and I've had this conversation 1,000 times, brother. 1,000 times. People say, I understand your point, brother Booker. You're right. You want to do it, but black folk ain't gonna never do that. We ain't going to never do that. And I want to say, well, you must not love Jesus then. because you don't love yourself. Another example, Juneteenth last week. Juneteenth shouldn't be it should be a state holiday. Juneteenth shouldn't be a national holiday. Here's why. If you're going to have a federal holiday for when slaves were set free, that needs to be January 30th, 1863, the day that the Proclamation of Emancipation was supposed to be signed. If you're going to celebrate, that's the day. That's the day. That's the national holiday, the day we were freed. Now, Texas, Galveston got the message 2 years later, so they can make Juneteenth a state holiday for their failure. But the day should be 1863, January 30th, you know what I'm saying? That should be a national holiday, you know, and we've got to look at these things and understand these things. Go back to what Willie Lynch said now, and understanding how we've been mentally, totally destroyed. But my thing is, finally at this point, I think we need to just, Hebrews says in the 13th chapter, now we can interpret Bible any way we want to, I understand that.
There's
a line in Hebrew 13 that says, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Meaning to me, we have nothing here. It ain't nothing ever going to be good for us here. We have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And they ain't talking about heaven. It will come when we bring it into existence, when we fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with ourselves, when we bring it into existence. You know, this thing here that we're living in, the whole Willie Lynch, the whole fixation of Willie Lynch and how we enslaved in it and trapped in it and mentally blind, deaf, and dumb in this system, no, it's not, you know, because we got to understand God didn't give us the right to vote. The white man did.
Come on.
You know what I mean? God did not give us the right to vote. The white man did. That's why they on the verge now trying to take it away. And we all in the streets, oh, no, you can't do that. Don't take, that's not a democracy. No, see, we dependent on them, totally. He going to take my right to vote. Now, function under the rights God gave you. Fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with yourself. Stop begging somebody to give you something, to do something.
Like
we
that.
Have to come together as a people. You know what I mean? We have to come together as a people. We have to show the world that we are united and that we're not relying on you. We're not depending on you. We got ourselves. But that impossible dream again, brother. We say we love Jesus, but we don't understand it. Falling in love with Jesus, best thing I ever done. I mean, I'm falling in love with myself.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Know?
I appreciate that.
Yes,
I'll be back around to you in a minute.
Yes,
thank you. Man, the brother's right. He's right. We need to fall in love with ourselves. What's wrong with falling? You know how it feels to fall in love. What about falling in love with your brothers and sisters? I mean, the honest truth is many of us are ragged. No, wait, raggedy? Where I'm from, they say raggedy. Anyway. Many of us are. That's the truth. But we can get better. I ain't knocking nobody down, but we got to build ourselves up quickly. We got to get a better foundation, and we got to work on our mind, but we got to do the work. We just do. We have to do the work of working on ourselves. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to a clip, and then I'm going over to 9116 when I get back. Check this out.
Thousands of years ago, there stood a great African warrior king, Ra Ursa Mayat Ra, Hentepet Ra, Remetsu Meriam.
Y'all better know what happened.
This majestic ruler who reigned for over 60 years, a legendary master builder and historical revealer, cunning and strong, corrector of both right and wrong. As he walked the streets of Kemet, the African people would cheer. And he stood one day at the Giza Plateau, marveling at Khufu, Khafra, and Menkaure. He recalled the pyramids that we'd built, 48 stories high, 755 feet wide, 2,003,000 stones, some stones weighing over 3,000 tons in the inner casing. This great warrior king
marveled at the system of mathematics that he knew his people had created. And with a great ambience, he stood at the base. And he walked back down the corridor that he would lay the rest tonight. His queen joined him. But in the middle of the night, he woke up in a cold sweat from a nightmare. His queen looked at him, but she'd never seen him this way before, so she never said a word. He laid down again. And in the middle of the night, he awoke screaming at the top of his lungs. His queen still didn't trouble him. But the next morning as Ra rose, as he gazed into the sun, she said, "My king, last night you were troubled. What was it that bothered you?" And he slowly and methodically looked up into her eyes and he said, "Last night I had a dream and I saw things that I'd never seen. I saw black men killing one another. I saw black children disrespecting their mothers. I saw black armies going down in defeat. I saw black babies saying things even I wouldn't repeat. I saw the pyramid builders, once so wealthy and once so wise, now smoking crack and committing suicide. I saw an African queen being called a bitch. I saw an African king wallowing in the ditch. I saw black people who once loved one another become separated because of class, status, and color. I saw ministers of God lying to people who believe just to obtain a dollar is what they hope to achieve. But then things got so bad and it made me so sad until I screamed to God like I never had. And I cried, send them a message and make it loud and clear. Don't give up now because freedom is too near. You've been too black, too bold, too whole, too cold, too strong, too long to allow this nonsense to continue on. You gave sight to the blind when others could not see. You gave refuge to those who were lost and allowed them to be. You built pyramids when others lived in caves. You gave the world a year with 365 and a fourth days. You gave hope to the shameless and names to the nameless. But what will you do now that you're not so famous? Stop sacrificing your dreams for the illusion of security. Stop acting like a child and obtain your maturity. Stop looking to others for what you can do for yourself. Dust off your ambition and take it off the shelf. Start living your life and stop waiting on death. Stop waiting on time, for there is no time left. For our God only helps those who will help themselves. Peace out.
I pause for just a moment, because we need to do the work. Because we did a whole lot of things in the past, but we're doing some things that we haven't ever done, particularly to ourselves. So we're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves, get back to our rightful place on this earth. That's what we got to do. But it starts with us, and it starts with you and me today. I'm going on over to 9116. You ready? I am. Talk to me. I'm ready. Oh yeah. 9116. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I'm Rashard Prince.
Hey, brother.
And
how you doing?
It's always good to be in your presence. You know, presence of greatness cultivates greatness.
Thank you, sir.
And I just want to say I'm an optimist. You know.
Okay.
I kind of want to piggyback off what your brother was saying. Before you came on with your that quick skit, and I totally agree with the brother as far as we need to love ourselves. That's number one. But once I realized that Jesus was a man who was conscious and thought on a higher level, it did so much for me. And we took it away from, you know, what we grew up on with the white pictures and the churches and stuff, and started diving into the text that he had features like me. Once I realized that he had features like me and that this man was a higher thinking man, it made me know that I can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be able to cultivate those thought processes to our kids. Like, I don't feel like anything is impossible. I think about this. It was a time where, like that skit you played, we had these great dynasties and pyramids that were sitting on the high that people thought would never, ever fall, right? And I correlate the word never with impossible. You know, people never thought that these pyramids would fall, but it happened. We got overthrown. I know it was a time where we probably thought it would never happen.
True.
The impossible happened. So on the reverse side, I feel like the impossible can happen now. With
true.
Us coming together and cultivating these thought processes from the high and trickling on down to the kids. And we can create a nation. I feel like I'm optimistic, and I totally feel like we can. With great men like yourselves doing what we're doing now and continuing to touch the kids and just continuing on with these things we're doing, you know. So I salute you, Brother Rome, and every man or everyone that's on this call, you know, for these efforts we're doing and these thought processes. Because people like us who do think on a higher level, we have to do these things to trickle down.
True.
That's kind of our responsibility, like a Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I salute you guys, and thank you for having me, you know.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Hang on. I'm going to come back to you. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The brother said, think about this now. The brother, I like that. I like that. I'm going to tell you why. The brother said, there was a time. Get that now. There was a time, and in the clip it said, we did it all. It's in us. It's in our DNA. It's in our genes. It's in the fabric of who we are. We've been altered. The fabric of who we are has been altered, but we're still the same. Right? Can we come together? Can we coalesce? Can we do the work? Can we rebuild? Can we become rebuilders? Can we rebuild ourselves, our communities, our families, our children? Can we do the work? Can we invest? Can we reinvest in ourselves? That's the question I'm asking today. Can we do it? I say, yeah. The brother say he's optimistic. I got that, and rightfully so. There's so much going on, but again, we've been through so many cycles in this country. But can we just pause for a minute, just for a minute, to get a plan, to get a strategy, to come together, to unite, to come together, like the brother said, and do this impossible dream together. I'm going over to 6306. If you ready, I'm ready. I like this conversation today. Here we go, 6306. Bring it.
Bring it. What?
That's for you, Brother Joy. 6306, you there? 6306 going once. Going twice. All right, we gone. Let me try
I was
again.
Muted.
I'm going
sorry.
Over to
hey.
Oh, girl. You
sorry,
had,
I'm pushing
you,
buttons and pushing
I
the wrong button.
I was pulling the trigger on
I
you.
Know.
I was pulling the trigger. All right, what you got for me? Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. And I'm going to try to be the...
hold on, wait.
Uh-huh.
Wait. Let me get yours right. Hold on.
Bring it. What?
I got to do you right. All right, I'm settling in. 6306, what you got, babe?
I will say that I'm going to try to be optimistic because we're, you know, sometimes we get on the call and we're talking about what's not good and what's going on. But I will say, you know, for somebody who looks at social media on a regular basis, we do now as a people, we tend to be more positive than what we used to be. So I remember, like when our parents were growing up, how, you know, listen to James Brown and say aloud, I'm black and I'm proud and all of those other things. But now we're on this, especially with the issues of mental illness and how it seems like, and I don't know if it's because, it's on the news more or what the case is, but it seems like there's a lot of suicide going on and people not loving themselves. So there seems to be a campaign now of teaching people how to love themselves, not so much, you know, using religion or anything like that, but we are appreciating the skin that we're in. You know, we're loving our hair. We're loving who we are, and we are making the point of letting people know that this is us. We don't need to conform to your ideas of what you think is what everyone should look like, you know. And we're starting to get the truth out there. So I'm hoping and praying that that we do start getting to the point where everybody starts loving themselves and realizing everybody is different. Everybody, you know, we don't have to look like what we see in social media or this made-up version of what we think, you know, we should look like or anything like that, and start accepting ourselves and loving ourselves and appreciating ourselves and appreciating other people's differences.
I like that. I like that, sister. And you're exactly right. You are so right. Thanks. I'm going to try to loop back around to you. That was real good. I'm going to tell you why. Because sometimes we have to understand one thing. The key is, here it is, to love yourself. And in the condition, and I would dare say that we've learned to dislike a lot of our physical qualities, which then leads to some other things. We know we've been conditioned in a lot of ways, but mental illness is real. It's prevalent in our communities and in a lot of our families. Again, you have to understand the trauma, right? They haven't done all the research on all the trauma that we've gone through and continue to go through. So we're going to have to do the work of doing the healing. And that healing starts with you. The brother before the sister said, I got to go to him for it. He said, the impossible can happen now. And I say, you are absolutely right. The impossible can happen now. We can begin to love ourselves. We can begin to organize. We can begin to become grateful for who we are and retain our own personal power. Accept the challenges that we face and work together. And then focus on the things that we can control. What are the things that we can control? How can we continue to do the work of loving ourselves and teaching our children, the next generation, to love yourselves more and more? Hey, this is my plea. We got to love. We got to treat each other right. We got to start helping each other. We got to start working together. And we got to do that work. I thank y'all for calling. I really appreciate the conversation. Here we go. I'm going over to 4756. If you're talking to me today, it's on. What you got for me today? 4756, I'm going to crank you up. You got to bring it.
Bring it.
What you got?
Hey, greetings. This is Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Wake Up. Glad to be in your forum to contribute. I just want to say that one of the things that's really kind of been needling me is the younger generation, those in their 20s, maybe early 30s, of so-called conscious people. Back in the 80s and 90s, you can recall, there was a love of books. Black people went to black bookstores. We were reading not only just history, but we were reading novels by African-American authors. While that was going on, this generation of young people were being born, or they were toddlers. Well, they grew up more so under the Jerry Springers and all of these court shows and social media where everything is sensational. And I see a disdain for knowledge, studying, respecting those black voices who have come before and have written and given wisdom. And I just see a whole lot of little craziness in the name of being conscious. They actually have young people who are wearing the red, black, and the green and who ridicule Pan-Africanism. I mean, how could you wear the red, black, and green and ridicule Pan-Africanism when Marcus Garvey designed those flags to promote Pan-Africanism? You have an element of people who are young people out here who are totally disconnected from any factual history of the African-American experience, and they claim that they're just native to this place. They have nothing to do with Africa. So it's a lot of work we need to do with those of us who say we're conscious. There are all types of foolishness going on out here, and that's just something that's really been needing me, because you have people like John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben, Amos Wilson, people who've given their lives to share with black people on, you know, hey, this is how it is, and based off our experience, and based off this, study this, read this, study this. They don't have many people, many of the, I'm not even going to say young, but it's coming from a lot of the young, but some of those, they have no respect for that. They have no respect for those people, because they're learning from YouTube channels and Twitter. That, you know, where they get the information from. You know, and you can't even argue a historical point of fact about black people. When you ask them for a book to name or an article, they refer you to a YouTube link. So I'll just be quiet on that point there.
Hey, thank you, Warren. I appreciate you joining the show as always. But you're exactly right. Hey, y'all got to check out Warren's show too. Hey, Warren, I listened yesterday. That sister was kicking some knowledge. See, you ain't even know I was on the line. That's right. I'll be listening. I'll be on. Okay. Listen up. It's about, again, to Warren's point, it's about education. And again, in the tenets of the NAAEA, it's about education. We have to properly educate ourselves. And somebody said, my wingman said, hey, why we always got to delve so deep into something? Why we just can't celebrate a win? Because historically, we have to be accurate, right? And the brother said 1863, which was right, right? And so some people celebrate on, we're going back to Juneteenth now. Some of us celebrate 1865, right, Juneteenth, right? In Washington, D.C., the emancipation is 1863 in April. Brother said January 30th, 1863, and then some of us celebrate, like here at the NAAEA, we celebrate January 1st as Emancipation Day. The whole thing is, here's it for me in a nutshell, although we have Emancipation Day, did we really get emancipation? It's a day to celebrate because our people was free, but they turned it around on us. And once you get past, oh yeah, we got free, we got out of Galveston, blah, 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 and then look at everything else behind that. So we celebrate the freedom, but did we really get the freedom? And that's what we're fighting for now, right? We can say Derek Chauvin, or however you pronounce it, man, he didn't get enough time. But I do say, I'm just saying he got some time, because it was a time that a white man wouldn't get nothing for doing something to you and me and our ancestors. So I'm just thankful that the law is prevailing. And I think, again, before I move on, I'm going down to 9560 after this. I will say that we're going to have to continue to apply the law to all citizenry of all colors, races, creeds, and nationalities in this country. And if they don't, I don't think it's going to last long. I think it got to go into tyranny to make the balance even. So you got a choice. I ain't threatening nobody, but I think it's a choice that has to be made. Liberty and justice for all or nothing. 9560. Come on, rock with me today. For you, Brother Joe.
Bring it! What?
We're not going anywhere. Going nowhere. 9560. Marvin Rome. You on? You ready to talk?
Yes. This is Natima, and I'm listening to the last caller. How you doing today?
Hey, Natima. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And all right. The last two callers said something that struck out to me in terms of, like, the state of where everyone is and the lack of information. And it just goes back to, you know, our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we go back to the things that we're used to and what we have access to. And so sometimes our older generation do not have the same connection with our younger youth as they used to.
True.
And generationally, no one wants to be corrected these days. Everyone wants to be in their own bubble outside of quarantine and COVID life has created. So in order to give them that knowledge, we have to go back to, you know, reaching our community and helping teach them these things outside of if they're on social media, then the right information also needs to be there so that they can have access to it. And they have to know that there's something wrong with the way they may be thinking as well. Because if they don't see any problem with it and nobody is challenging that thinking, then they'll stay the same. And then we'll still stay divided and still try to figure out who's going to come and help save us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
That's my thoughts on the matter.
Thanks, Natima. The question is, who is going to come and save us? That's something to think about. Thanks. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
To get back to you. Who's going to save us? You, me, us and we. That's who. That's who. We as, like the sister said, our people suffer from a lack of knowledge. They took the books away from you and then called you dumb. Must have forgot about that, didn't you? They forgot that they told us not to read and there was a punishment for reading. And then you ask us why we don't read and we don't write and we want to excel because, again, there was a punishment, right, for doing certain things. The punishment for learning. The punishment for writing. There was a punishment. There was a punishment. There was a brutality. There was a lynching. There was a cutting off of hands and arms and limbs for learning or for running away. So you got to understand all of these things play a part. And like I played in some of the clips before, we have learned to protect ourselves by dumbing it down. But that's over because, again, we have to educate ourselves. And, again, the tenet is, or the NAAE is education. We have to educate ourselves. We have to educate ourselves. We have to educate ourselves. I'm going back to 6306, and then I'm going to 9282. I like this conversation. Thank you, sisters and brothers, for calling in. That's what we need. But you know what time it is. This one is for my mama. Here you go, Mom.
Bring it! What?
I put an extra on there for my mama. 6306, what you got?
Hey, I just wanted to say something about what we were just talking about with the education piece. And what was it, brother? Is a brother who's in New Orleans? I'm sorry, I don't want to get the name.
Brother Warren.
Right. Yeah, and I agree with Brother Warren, but I also want to add that with the education piece, we don't have a lot of the education out here. So even when so YouTube is a avenue of education that we're not getting in the streets either. So people are allowed to speak the truth on YouTube and possibly, you know, and tell that truth that we're not learning in schools. We may not be learning from our parents, and not because our parents just don't know. It was never taught to them. You know, they've been taught to think a certain way based on slave structures that were put into place. So, but the only issue with YouTube is with everybody being able to say what they want to say, we cannot discern what is the truth and what is not the truth. But I will say this. YouTube can be a very good education tool if you have enough sense to weed out the good and the bad. I will say that. Because there are a lot of people that don't. But, you know, if we don't go to YouTube, where do we get our information from, especially our young people who are thirsting for this knowledge, that want to know there has to be something better out here, or why are things the way they are? You know, where can they go to? And they're not going to listen to everybody walking out, because everybody's going to tell you something different. You know, I had a situation one time where I went to a museum, and I made a fact. I was, like, talking about the cobblestones, and I was like, you know, my ancestors put this cobblestone down in the ground. And the man looked at me like I was crazy. Like, I was proud of my ancestors. You know, I was like, we walk on this every day, and I recognize it. And this man looked at me like I had, you know, cussed at him or something like that. And he was a curator at the museum. And see, where I look at it as, you know, I'm proud of my ancestors, even though they were forced to do it. My ancestors done this, and I'm proud of them, and they survived, and that's why I'm here today.
That's right.
And so when we're going to these different places and getting this education, what kind of education are we getting from these people? You know,
got
because
that right.
he looked at me like I cussed at him. You know, and I saw the blessing in it, even though it was a very bad situation. I chose to see the blessing in it. But if I go to him and he want to spew, you know, well, they forced him to do it, and you know, and then I grow up hating this cobblestone road. Or, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, where do our young people go, or where do we go, even as adults, to get the right information and the information that's going to help us grow? And like I said, and YouTube sometimes it does that. It gives you that truth that. You know, we're not going to hear about Black Wall Street. We're not going to hear about the bombing in Philadelphia. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to hear those truths because they're going to whitewash it. They're going to say that we were out here, we were evil, we were doing this, and they're going to tell us, no, this is really what happened. So it's some good and some bad about YouTube. Like I said, you just have to have the discernment to know what is true and what's not. So I just wanted to add that.
Appreciate that, sister. I appreciate that. We have to become the authorities on our own education. That's what we have to do. We have historians like Brother Warren said. You got Dr. John Henry Cart all day long, Dr. Ben, and many of our people in the mainstream don't know about these people because we get mainstreamed in our education. So the people who are trying to educate us, who indoctrinate us, get information. Again, I think we need to have our own news network, right? I think we need to have our own authority saying this is the most relevant information, and this is the sources, and cite the sources that we have, and that's what you do on an intellectual academic level. You cite your sources, you get it right. But at the same time, of course, now because we have social media, anything goes, and sometimes that can be good in terms of just getting information out there. So at least we're trying, we're making the efforts. We're definitely making efforts, but we got to know, like the song say, what's going on, and do you know what's going on? I'm going over to 9282. You've been kicking it. Let's go back. I appreciate y'all. Great calls today. 9282. This is Brother George. Come on back home, brother.
Bring it. What?
Uh-huh. Y'all like my song? 9282. We ain't going nowhere. What you got?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A couple of quick points. I'm going to piggyback on Brother Stan and say we need to stop getting in to fit in, because the majority of us, that's what we're doing still, trying to get in to fit in. Okay?
Got that right.
Which translate into selling out. All right. Now, we also need to understand who we are. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us we are the original man of the planet, the original Asiatic black man, okay? That's who we are. Those are our answer. We are the original man, straight from God, Allah, Buddha, whoever you want to call it, okay? We must understand that. And when you're seeking knowledge, there are things to support that scientifically and so forth. From the darkness came the light, the Bible says, okay? Okay, the dominant gene is the black gene. Everyone knows. Okay, okay, you know, it's the dominant gene. I'm not saying superior or anything, but the truth of the facts of the matter. Okay, and also, you know, there are knowledge hidden in odd places that we have to start understanding, like in fairy tales or nursery rhymes, like Humpty Dumpty.
Uh-oh.
They say Humpty Dumpty.
Come on, bro.
We Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All of the horses and all of the kings couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. They said, they're talking about us. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And
sure
we
did.
We must understand. And going back to what the sister was just saying and Brother Warren and so forth, but now, one thing we must understand about knowledge, and I said a white family member said this to me in San Diego a few weeks ago when I was in California. He said, you got to understand something. Those with the power controls the knowledge.
Mm-hmm. I heard
that. So that means they control YouTube, they control Netflix, they control the libraries, they control the books, they control the ones in power, controls the knowledge. Now, what we must do, again, I'm going to take some from the Bible that says we have to prove all things.
Mm. All right.
And as I said before, if I can't prove that it's right, that it's the truth, I'm not going to pass it on to my children.
I heard that.
I've got to prove that it's the right thing. That is the truth, brother. We've got to, because we're the teachers, but I can't teach you lies. You know, we got to prove it. We got to know that information we're giving to our children, to our next generation, to our youth, they can bank on.
I like
coming
that.
From us, and we can prove it. That's what we must do. Our my generation and older, younger generation don't trust a lot of us because we done lied to them. We done hooked them up with the okey doke, with the hook, the spooks, and all the ghosts and the goblins, and Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, all these things we say just
you
for fun.
Santa
That's
Claus
lies. That's a lie. You know, they know Santa Claus. But yet we teach it to our children and trick them and say, and then one day we got to tell them, oh, we were lying to you. But you teach them, on the other hand, don't lie to you.
Mm.
So we're filling them with lies. We're filling them with, what was a white lie? Oh, because it was a white lie that makes it good?
Right.
No.
All right, brother, I'm going to have to wrap it right there because I'm trying to get to one more and maybe two more before I go. But I like that, right? Stop telling them lies. I like
stop
that.
Stop telling them lies.
Brother said stop telling them lies. Right? Peace, brother. Thank you. When we going to stop? I mean, we got to be honest with ourselves. Our people perish for lack of knowledge, and sometimes that knowledge is not good. Brother Stan used to say we need correction for direction. Who controls the narrative, right? What's the state of the black union? That's going to be the next question, because we need education, because we are the original kings and queens, but you got to know your place. I'm going back to 9116 in a minute, but I just want to ask this question, right? What's the state of the black union, right? Now, we had a state of union address in our own country, in this country, but what about our own communities? What about our own families? What's the state of the union where you live, where you exist? The city or time and state or the home that you live in, what's the state of your union? Let's get it together, people. I'm going back to 9116. Got one more round to go. 3 minutes left. What you got, brother? Here we go. One more time.
Bring
it, brother. 9116. You live and in color. What's happening?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We speak about the state of our current situation, and I'm seeing a shift. I'm seeing a shift to where government entities are actually moving on the people's ideas. They're attaching themselves to the people's ideas. So that's a shift I've never seen. Once again, the impossible. I just want to go back to the impossible for a second to keep us all boosted and motivated for our ongoing days. The impossible. Let's explore those things. Like, so many impossible things have happened. I sit around 80-year-old people. And they tell me they thought they'd never see other countries standing in solidarity for black rights and all this. Once again, the impossible happened. They thought they'd never see a black president. I don't know if that was something that was just in place for us to be more subdued or what, but the impossible happened.
Got that right.
You know, the impossible definitely can happen, and I want to just keep us all motivated towards that. Yes, sir.
All right. I like that, brother. Thank you so much for calling in today. I appreciate that. I like that. Let's
continue to make
the impossible happen. Thank you, brother. All right. We're about to close out, but let's continue to live that impossible dream. I thank y'all for calling. But I want to leave you with some words of encouragement wherever you are. We're not perfect, and things are not going to be perfect. You got to work at something if you want to get better at it. But the work has to be with loving yourself. The work has to be with crafting a future, developing a plan, and executing that plan. Being able to evaluate where you are and doing the work. Creating correction for direction. Setting healthy boundaries. Taking calculated risks. And making peace with yourself and the past. Those are the things that we have to do. We have to learn from our mistakes. We got to get healthier mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We have to be able to, again, love ourselves. And it shows like this. Tell your friends, right? Go send this to somebody, right? But let's get to work and let's get it together today. Come back next week and join us. Thank y'all, everybody. Until next week, peace and blessings. I'm out.
And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest.
Peace and quietness, you're sure to find.
And the world will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with God still strove.